Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Yeah, I mean, I think that anytime you get the chance to try to, you know, win the game and solidify it and try to make a play, you know, I always believe in having the ball, you know, and everything else. But also, we got a great kicker. We're going to believe in our kicker again. So I always trust his decisions and everything else. But I'm also always ready to go try to do it if we need to.
Okay, walk me through this. As somebody like yourself who's been in thousands of huddles in all kinds of moments during games, tell me what was really going on in that Broncos huddle before the kick. Because all we heard after the game, and then again on Tuesday, was the plan. We'd all agreed. The plan was get to the 46, we're going to send out the kicker. But yet, there's Russell Wilson yesterday saying, oh yeah, I had a play ready to go. It was going to be a pass play. I won't tell you exactly what it was. We might want to use it again at some point. But yeah, I had a play ready to go. In fact, the Broncos were lined up. Guys were moving around. There seemed to be some indecision. So what is happening
right
in that huddle? Based on what you know, what do you think is really going on?
Well,
there?
What are we doing? I mean, what are we doing? That's where timeout needed to be called. The timeout, at that point, you had three. The timeout affects nothing, right? It saves you some time, and it lets you, as opposed to, you know, maybe at that point, well, it probably didn't happen because at that point you wasted 30 seconds before you called the timeout. But if you call a timeout early, maybe somebody in that huddle comes to their senses and has enough common sense to go, this is stupid. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? 64-yarder? What are we doing?
What's going on?
So I was on PAT field goal. I was on the field goal team when Jason Elam hit his 63-yarder. And that was at the very end of the first half with like 2 seconds left. You know, you got to drive the football. There's so many things that go into it. You know, you got to drive the football. So it just is, you know, you worry about it being blocked. You got to warn everybody, hey, if it gets blocked, you know, it's going to ricochet because you got to kick it a little bit lower. So make sure you're ready to cover, you know, all these things going on. But it just was, again, it was just mismanagement. If that was your plan, it was a really bad plan.
Yeah, and what I heard yesterday was, I didn't hear that everybody was on the same page. Like, everybody understood the plan.
Right.
And that the plan was clear. And that everybody was ready to execute the plan. I think the plan was, Russell Wilson was in that huddle, was at the line of scrimmage, ready to roll, and Nathaniel Hackett's yelling in his helmet, no, we're going to go for the field goal.
Russell, can you hear me?
Next and four down.
Pure energy. Second down.
Yeah, I really did. I felt we were all on the same page. I felt like Russ and I had great communication. He knew what was coming out to him. I felt like the guys executed it well. Obviously you just want to keep getting better. I think as any coach in this league, you're always trying to learn every single day.
That's one of those moments where Russ should have been like, you know, what? Huh? You know, he's putting both hands up to the helmet like, I can't hear you.
Right. When I heard that,
I guess I'll just run the play.
What's that? What is it? Is it Yentl, the song? Russell, can you hear me?
Nathaniel Hackett says that he felt good about his play calling the other day. Should he?
Yeah, I mean, they put 400 yards of offense up there. I mean, I think the play calling standpoint.
They didn't execute in the red zone. Yeah, and you didn't like the play calling down by the goal line.
No, I don't like, I didn't say I didn't like the play calling. I don't like being in shotgun.
All right, well, that's play calling.
No, that's formation.
Okay. Tomato, tomato.
No, it's not tomato,
yes,
tomato.
Yes, it is.
No.
Potato, potato.
No, it's not. So I don't like that. But I don't like the fact that you threw it 42 times. You played it like it was a shootout. I don't like that. But with that said, Mike, They moved the ball exceptionally well, up and down, and they ran the ball really well. And I would like to see them lean. Like, hey, listen, man, if you're leaning on somebody like that and you're leaning on somebody on a consistent basis, you know what you do? You wear their butts out. And then all of a sudden, guess what? You get in the red zone and you impose your will as opposed to, you know, turning over twice and settling for a field goal down there three times. So, yeah, I don't, that part I don't like. Red zone's an attitude. Red zone is, there's an attitude toward red zone. And there's a belief in what you're doing. Like, there's, like you get in the red zone, to me, there's got to be a handful of plays. This is what we run down here. This is what we are down here. And if you can't impose your will, like, I don't think you can trick people into being a good red zone team, right? I really don't. Because you think about red zone, what ends up happening to you is there's 12 defenders. The end line, you can't go over the top someone. So they're going to play you much tighter. So you better have a physical plan. Sorry, I was monologuing there for a minute.
It's okay. That's okay. Yeah,
I felt like I was a villain in a superhero movie that was explaining
right.
how I was going to put you to death.
Yeah,
and
right.
why you were wriggling
so,
away.
Superman.
Yes. You didn't know I had a pocket full of kryptonite, did you, Superman?
Do you expect me to talk? No, Bond. I expect you to die.
Yes.
Next and four down.
Third down.
Obviously a lot, you know, with Justin being out, he's obviously one of the best players in the league. So, you know, my job is to go in there and make sure there's no fall off, be in making plays and obviously communication and just making sure everybody's in line, right, stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm pretty ready.
All right, Caden Stearns ready to step in for Justin Simmons. When you talk about next man up and the difficulty in replacing a starter or one of the best players in the game at a particular position, safety. How magnified is it when your guy, your safety, goes down and the next guy is asked to step up and replace?
I think it's big because a lot of times the safeties are the guys that, you know, or if they're not the green dot guy, you know, the guy who's calling the defensive plays and the signals, they are the guy that is tying the secondary together, right? Making sure everybody's on the same page, communicating with everybody. So that's, you know, that's a big thing, especially in today's game where there are so many shifts, so many motions. You know, you change strengths, it changes what you're doing. And then, you know, to be tied together and to understand all those things, and then to go out there and make plays. So it's a big responsibility, man. That's a really hard thing to do and go and replace. So, yeah, I mean, that's part of it.
Next and four down.
One, two, three. Fourth down.
And this ball's hit well to left, and it's got a chance to get out. And a leaping catch made by Daza. I don't know if it goes out, but it saved two runs. It keeps the Rockies in front.
Drew Goodman there with the call on AT&T Sportsnet. For those of you who weren't even aware the Rockies are still playing, they beat the White Sox 3-0. A strong showing from Kyle Freeland playing the role of spoiler as the White Sox are trying to make a wild card in the American League. Rockies get the win 3-0. Off today, they stay in Chicago to take on the Cubbies over the weekend. That is it for Four Down Territory, a tour on the Denver sports scene. Up next, will we learn if the Broncos are a playoff caliber team simply by the way they respond this week? Will we learn all we need to know? That's next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Ready for an interesting little stat there, Mark Schlereth?
Yes, I am.
So, last year was the first year of the expanded playoffs.
Okay.
With seven teams in each conference making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that none of the seven NFL teams that started 0-2 last season went on to make the playoffs? So
I did not know that, but I know that when you start off the season, it puts you behind, man. It's hard to rally back. I know teams have done it, but you know that's a death knell.
So Rams,
NELL,
Rams,
yeah,
Cardinals, 49ers, Packers, Cowboys, Patriots, Bengals, Raiders, Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
If you have playoff aspirations, you're all of a sudden kind of facing a must-win this week, aren't you?
Well, according to last year's stats, yeah. I mean, it's a small sample size, but it certainly puts you behind.
Are you confident? Well, let me pose it this way. Two-part question. Will we learn everything we need to know about whether or not this team is made of the right stuff to be a playoff team based on the way they come out and respond this week?
No,
this was not your normal opening season game. This was not just, hey, let's go out, knock the rust off, work the kinks out,
right?
Treat the first game of the regular season like an extension of the preseason. This was the kind of loss in that kind of environment. First of all, that environment made it more unusual than your typical first game. And secondly, the blowback and the nationwide condemnation of how you handled the end of that game.
Yeah.
To me, makes that not your normal right. opening season game. So how you come back from all that matters.
Well, let's face it. First and foremost, that was atmosphere-wise, just vitriol toward Russell Wilson, just the overall hate from the crowd, and this us against the world mentality that the Seattle Seahawks had. Like, that was a unique circumstance to walk into, Mike, and you walk away. So, all right, so let's put the blundering of the end of the game, let's put that to bed, okay? I guarantee you, Nathaniel Hackett's a smart man. He's a good football coach. I guarantee you, he'll go, well, like, in a private moment, behind closed doors, he'll be, man, did I botch that? I mean, he will. There's just no question that he will. So you'll learn from that. You're not gonna trot out Ray Finkel. That's what Nate called him, Ray Finkel.
You like that.
Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel. your kicker.
Ace Ventura, everybody.
Yeah,
stop by your local Blockbuster and get it.
Yeah, you're not trotting out your kicker for another 64-yarder, I promise you that. So I think that you know, you learn some valuable lessons. Unfortunately, you learn them in a loss, but here's what I would say to you. I can't tell you how many times I went to Kansas City and lost. And as much and as painful as a loss is, that it gave me confidence in how good we were as a football team. And you go to Seattle, and you lose, and Geno Smith completes his first 13 passes. They hang 17 on you in the first half. You respond to it. Defensively, you play great in the second half. You respond to all that, the crowd noise, everything else. The crowd noise, you still rush for almost 6 yards per carry. Crowd knows you still complete 69% of your passes. Over 340 yards passing. I mean, you think about all the positives. You come on. That's one of the toughest environments, if not the toughest environment to play in. It was their freaking Super Bowl. It was. It was like NASCAR. You know how NASCAR starts with their Super Bowl Daytona? Seattle started with their Daytona. And yet, the Broncos were in it, should have won it, gave it away, whatever you want to say. So as disappointing as that is, it really solidifies you as a football team.
Are you saying it's a good loss? You've admitted before there can be good losses. A lot of fans hate that, hate the idea of a good loss. But sounds like you've talked about this. Talked about this before with Kansas right. City games
yeah,
back
not
in the
a,
day.
Not a good loss in that, hey, you know what? Like, a good loss to me sometimes is you're really rolling along and, you know, and you've gotten a little lackadaisical because you're really good, and then you take a loss at the end of the season and you're like, oh, shoot, we got to pick our stuff up because we can still be beat. Like, that to me is a eye-opening kind of, okay, like message sent. But this to me is a confidence builder. Guys, we went in the toughest environment in the world and we gave a game away. We fumbled on the 1 yard line twice. Come on. That's a 15 point victory.
Hasn't been done since a replacement team in 1987 did. That's how fluky it was.
Right. Like that's a double digit 14, 17 point win, you guys.
I think
we gave it away.
I think they bounced back great this week. I think the Broncos, not only the way they lost, but all the public national scrutiny that went along with it, plus the environment they played in, I think they got more out of their opening day game than the overwhelming majority of teams in the NFL.
I would agree.
And I think that they'll apply that this week. I think it's an easy game on Sunday. I really do. I think they go 30 plus.
Yeah, there's no Houston. there's no such thing as an easy game.
This feels like a 30. No. This feels like a 30 to
13
type win to me.
I agree.
Okay, good.
I agree.
Coming up, what is trending? Turns out Russell Wilson has a prominent voice backing him. And Broncos country, you're going to be watching with interest tonight. Chiefs and Chargers. All that's coming up after Spilly tells us how the Rockies fared against the Pale Hose yesterday.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
Week two of the NFL season starts tonight. And it's one that Broncos country will be watching with interest as we have the Chiefs and the Chargers. The Chiefs last year, Mark, sleptwalked through the first part of the season. After getting blown out in late October at Tennessee, they were 3-4. Then they flipped the switch, ended up going to the AFC Championship game. I get the sense that a combination of effects. You've got the loss of Tyreek Hill and the idea that somehow the Chiefs are weakened. Mm. Also the understanding that the division, the conference, is much stingier than it's been in the past. I get the sense that the Chiefs are kind of on an early season mission. I think they roll tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Chiefs, I think all the talk about Patrick Mahomes, who's an idiot general manager that came out, you know, anonymously and said, yeah, we've got him figured out. Yeah. He's just a street ball.
Take away that first read.
Who's that idiot?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know what? There's a guy that's writing checks that everybody else has to cash, right? Like, what an idiot. Well, don't make everybody else's job harder. He's probably some guy that is a general manager in the NFC that doesn't have to play him, right? Or he's somebody that's not from the AFC West, so he wants to piss Mahomes off.
Ah, I see.
Or maybe no, that wouldn't make sense.
Showtime.
I don't know who he is.
Never mind.
I don't like him.
Russell Wilson has an ally in Robert Griffin III. RG3 came out and tweeted, "It's been a couple of days, but the boos for Russell Wilson in Seattle were uncalled for. Both sides wanted to move on, and Russell is the only QB to win a Super Bowl in Seattle. The Seahawks got a huge haul in return for him via trade, and he earned a better reception than that." That was vicious on Monday night. You want to, is that a repairable relationship? And how long is that going to take? Because the memory of that is not going to fade anytime soon.
It's repairable because Russell is, you know, his high road.
He's high road. And well, if he was high, he would have stayed and made it work in Seattle then.
Well, no, I mean,
he had strong feelings about that, and I'm sure he has strong feelings about the way he was treated the other night.
He will take the higher. No, man, it's good sports hate. Come on, the majority of people.
That was next level, dude.
The majority of people love Russell, but dude, there's nobody you love to beat more than your buddies and more than like your family. That just brings out, like, that was good that's old-fashioned sports hate.
It was. I'm not saying I didn't respect it. I'm just wondering how that's going to affect the long-term relationship.
They'll be okay. You know what? They'll mend fences. It'll be fine.
Gonna take a while.
It'll take a while.
Yeah. So Mike Tomlin was asked about rookie running back Jaylen Warren, who made his NFL debut the other day. Nothing too huge from a number standpoint. 3 attempts for 7 yards. That's it. But Jaylen Warren made quite the impression upon Mike Tomlin in a way that I think, Stink, you most notably, maybe more than anybody, will appreciate.
You know, he didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin. That's capable of happening for a young guy.
Yeah.
Now, as somebody who did urinate down his leg,
mm-hmm.
you have to appreciate the fact that this guy didn't urinate down his leg.
I don't know. Maybe it seemed to work for me. I do appreciate. Tomlin is no nonsense, baby. He is no nonsense.
I don't fear sudden death, and I never have.
I don't. What is sudden death that I never have?
Never have.
Gonna get us all. Sudden death will get every one of us. Eventually.
Oh, did you? You're not the only one to urinate during a game, are you?
Oh no,
lots of people urinate during games.
Oh, wouldn't you?
Check oil, urinate.
There are dozens of us.
Yeah. I mean,
dozens!
There's, you know, I mean, it
there's a lot on, of bodily fluids being exchanged.
Depends
huh?
on how, like, if it's a little dribbly or if it's, like, you know, full bladder release, little squirt. Just depends on.
I didn't realize, yeah, that's true. There are different levels. Yeah. So, evidently, a Iowa Hawkeye fan with some cash to burn, not happy with the struggling Iowa offense. And the amount of heat that's being directed at offense coordinator Brian Ferentz, the son of longtime head coach Kirk Ferentz. So, you know, this cameo stuff, you do a lot of it for Idaho.
Yeah.
Very quickly, describe what cameo is for those who don't know.
So people book you to give a message to, you know, their fantasy league, a happy birthday shout out, whatever, and you record it. Hey, happy birthday, man. This is Mark Schlereth from blah, 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 you know, and you just go on to da, 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 da. So for me, it's a really cool thing because 100% of everything I make on Cameo goes to supporting the University of Idaho, the scholarship fund. So it's kind of a fun way to raise money for Idaho.
So a former Iowa player turned Oklahoma coaching legend Bob Stoops and Hawkeyes men's basketball coach Fran McCaffrey are both doing cameo bits.
Okay.
So this fan, again, it's Bob Ferentz.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Here was Bob Stoops unwittingly, just reading the cameo, unwittingly, here's what he had to say.
Hello there, Brian. Bob Stoops here saying hi, and listen, I know you've had a couple of 2-3 years there, but the good news is, your family still supports you, buddy, especially your dad. He wants you to know that. But and even though everyone else seems to be against you, sometimes the best advice is to break free from the family business, man. Go do what you got to do. So anyhow, all the best to you and a big Boomer Sooner and good luck.
So Stoops had no idea.
Of course not.
All right, Fran McCaffrey, the Iowa basketball coach. Same thing.
Hey, Brian, Fran McCaffrey here. I wanted to reach out and let you know that all of us in the Hawkeye family are thinking about you. Your family loves you. Your dad loves you. The Hawkeyes love you. If you think about making a move back to New England. But wherever you go, wherever you are, the Hawkeye family will always be with you. Go Hawks.
That's next level.
So the way they do the cameo is they tell you kind of, hey, could you mentioned that, you know, he's in the family business and he's thinking about breaking away. Right. And so they just keep real generally give you these topics that you can just kind of ad lib and, you know, spit out some stuff. So that's brilliant. This is brilliant.
Word got back to Stoops and to McCaffrey, and McCaffrey released a statement. Quote, I agreed to do cameo on a regular basis to raise money for Coaches versus Cancer. I would never do anything to disparage any Hawkeye program and fully support Kirk, Brian, and our football team. So,
go Hawks.
That was good. It's good.
Yeah.
Nice prank.
It was really
nice prank.
Yeah.
Makes you realize maybe you need to read your scripts a little closer now.
No, they did. They did it at the Fox Summit. They got a couple of guys, you know, to give shout outs to you know, the bosses, and it was pretty funny. It was pretty. I was not one that was chosen, but I was like, and which I was like, oh, thank goodness. Probably because I'm too long winded. They couldn't have.
Yeah, it wouldn't have fit in. I've been here as you've recorded cameos. At times I've had to step in and say, yeah. Mark, you might want to redo that one.
Yeah. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. The great Mark Schlereth.
That is what is trending. Up next, Mark, I want to ask you if you saw any signs on Monday that Russell Wilson is accomplishing what was the number one mission of training camp. That's next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
So for everyone out there who just wants to turn the page, nothing to see here from Monday night, and let's focus on those Texans linebackers. As we sift through what happened on Monday night, I am curious because you made a point of saying this soon after the Broncos traded for Russell Wilson, and it became a big storyline that both Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett acknowledged during training camp, the idea that Russell Wilson's game has to evolve,
mm-hmm.
that there needs to be some changes made. Primarily, this can't be all about, hey, at the first flash of a pass rush, you look to take off and extend plays and make mm-hmm. plays with your legs, hold on to the ball too long, take some sacks. You got to become more of a traditional quarterback, operate from the pocket, win more in the middle of the field. That was the point of emphasis throughout training camp. Did you see signs, positive signs, of that evolution taking place Monday night?
The fact that Russell Wilson completed 11 balls to Javonte Williams and 2 balls to Melvin Gordon tells me, yes. There were a bunch of checkdowns that he threw. There were a bunch of quick throws that he made, a couple of stick routes, a couple of inside, you know, spot routes where the tight end just sitting over the ball or a receiver sitting over the ball. There were several of those in the middle of the football field that I thought he was really good on. So, and like the two sacks that he took, like I'd have to go back and look at them, but I don't remember instant pressure, Mike. I know there was a blitz on a Cody Barton blitz, right, that he took one, but I don't remember instant pressure. And so I think Nwosu had a sack as well, but I don't remember there being instant pressure. And, you know, I mean, you could legitimately say, okay, Russell took 2 sacks, and shoot, they're both on him, or it was extended plays. But the bottom line to me is, I don't remember that game where it felt like Russell was under duress a ton. There's a few times, but for the most part, in that kind of crowd noise, got rid of the ball, got rid of it efficiently. You know, completed 69% of his passes. And he completed 69% of his passes when he was errant on deep balls on multiple occasions, which is like, that's not usually his thing. So, no, I think that was a very positive sign. And again, go back to his Seattle days. I don't know how many times, you know, he's hitting tight ends. I mean, the first couple of completions were nothing but tight ends. It was the Andrew Beck show.
Yep.
So,
well, they're making a big deal in the broadcast. He hasn't targeted a wide receiver yet.
Yeah. So, again, those are all good signs of a maturing quarterback. You know, I mean, an offensive play caller in Hackett that wants to get his quarterback into that rhythm, into that flow. So, I think those are really good things.
As a fan, as an observer of this team, I'm glad it's a short week. I'm itching to get this team back out there again quickly because I think there was a lot.
Mike's ready to play, guys.
I'm ready to go.
He's ready.
I'll run through a wall for you, Bronco Country.
Right. He wants to get right back on the field.
I think
right
there was now. I'm not sore. No. I think there was a lot of stuff that you look at and say, okay, we can clean that up. We were close. These are things that are easily fixable. So I'm eager for this team to get right back out there. If you were playing on this team, would you have that same sense? Would there be a whatever disappointment that you were feeling Monday night on the flight home, is it quickly replaced by what you think is the potential of Monday night rather than the disappointment of Monday night?
Yeah, obviously you want to get back on the field and rectify all that went wrong, right? I mean, how many drives did you keep alive because of stupid penalties? You know, I mean, those are things that can be cleaned up. So there was a bunch of that went down, right? There's a bunch of those things that can be cleaned up. And then, you know, the red zone stuff, you want to be able to wash that taste out of your mouth. You want to be able to go out there and compete and do those things. So, again, really tough environment. And let's face it, there are those games, and we've talked about this, where you just walk into a buzzsaw. They walked into a buzzsaw, and they still should have won it by double digits. Now, you know what? They didn't hold on to the ball. They didn't possess it. They put it on the ground. That's unfortunate. But look at them defensively, man. They gave up, you know, a big play to Disley on the touchdown on the first drive, right, off a blitz where you should have had a sack.
Alex Singleton was there.
I mean, he just crushed Travis Homer. Had the quarterback, you know, like one arm on him, and the quarterback was able to move around. And then, you know, your underneath defense saw him attack the line of scrimmage. It was Bradley Chubb, jumped up, and there goes Disley, uncovered down the side. You know, I mean, it's one of those things. It's a hard thing to do when the quarterback is threatening the line of scrimmage. You're going to take off, and you've got to be so disciplined to stay in your coverage, to stay in your zone, because your natural reaction as a football player is to go get it. So, like, some of those things happened. The bottom line is, man, they buttoned themselves up. They played great. They created some turnovers. Darby created a fumble on Penny. There were some big-time hits and big-time plays, and they ended up shutting them out in the second half.
Yeah, I think they... I know I've been accused of being a jinxy cat. I think they roll. I really do. I think they roll this weekend.
I do too.
I think this is a 10-point line. I think they win by
100.
Yes, 100. That's what I was just about. Boy,
I was gonna say
the fact that you can read my mind is just scary at times.
Yeah, I was gonna say
I was exactly thinking about 100.
101 to 1, something like that.
Yeah.
Something really
103-3. I'll give them a field goal.
Okay. Courtesy one of the
on end. The text line, I'm so glad you think the Broncos are going to be better. Fact is, though, we're still the most overrated team in the NFL.
Why? How are we the most overrated team in the NFL? That's a Russell hater. That's what that is. That's a Russell hater.
I think to be overrated, the most overrated team in the NFL, you got to be somebody that everyone is talking about to go like to the AFC or NFC championship game.
Yeah.
Right? No, it's not. That's not the Broncos. The Broncos, I think in most people's minds, are a borderline playoff team. Right?
Yeah.
So you can't be the most overrated team in the NFL. Who would you say is the most overrated team in the NFL?
Yeah,
based on that criteria.
That's a good question.
That's what I do around here.
You just throw out good all questions. Right. Okay, well, let me just look at the teams right now. Overrated. Do you think? All right, I got one for you. Cincinnati.
Yes, I was just thinking about them. Boy, whether it's that or we both think the Broncos are going to win by 100. Same page.
Okay. Cincinnati. Maybe
yep.
They're the most.
How
about Tennessee?
Yep. Overrated.
Tennessee. Overrated.
Yep.
Dallas.
Well,
now that they lost, but they were overrated.
Even with Dak, overrated.
They were overrated with Dak. Now that he broke his finger and Jerry Jones is starting a quarterback,
a little load in his pants.
Yeah. Still overrated.
Arizona. Overrated.
Oh, Arizona. Way, way overrated. Oh, let me throw this one at you. The Los Angeles Rams.
It's funny. You mentioned both Cincinnati and the Rams. You're talking about two teams that were number four seeds last year and both went 10-7. Okay. Congratulations to both for getting to the Super Bowl. Congratulations to the Rams for winning it, but could easily see a drop back this year.
How about the Packers?
Too
early. Too early.
Too early.
Overrated. They got crushed by the they got crushed by the Saints last year in the opener, and then they still won. They still went 13-3. Right? Too early?
Yeah, I'm not
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm not gonna write them off yet. No.
Yeah. Yeah. So there, we just showed you, we just told you how many 5-6 teams that are more overrated than the Broncos.
Yes. No, Broncos aren't overrated.
No. So, Dexter, you're wrong.
The question is, are they going to be able to prove that they were underrated? That's what this season's all about. And we'll see. But yeah, big win this week. Big win this week. Big bounce. And I think that'll tell us a lot about the makeup of this team and whether or not this is a team that we should have high expectations for. Because you know what? If you're a team that's made of the right stuff, players, coaches, everybody, if you're made of the right stuff, you take all the noise from Monday night and everything that's been talked about since then, and you come out as a very angry, determined, focused football team with the idea that you're going to send a message.
Yeah.
If you are indeed made of the right stuff.
I'm going to amend my score.
106-3.
No. I'm going to go the opposite way.
Okay.
I think Russell is too classy to hang 100 on anybody. They call off the dogs at 86.
Okay.
86-3.
All right. Start running the ball.
Unlimited.
Right. 86-3.
Mark, no one in Seattle loves Russ. Russ moved here a year ago, and there's been nothing but hatred the whole time.
I don't. I don't think that's true.
Can you ever imagine a scenario where John Elway returned to Denver playing for another team and was treated like that?
No.
Okay.
Peyton Manning went back to Indianapolis to... I mean, now, it was the team that basically said, we're done. So the perception...
Yeah, he was as Eli reminded him during the Peyton cast, you were cut. you weren't traded. You were cut.
You were cut.
You were. He was. He was cut.
Yeah. So, but again, it's the narrative, right? It's the narrative that, come on, it just wasn't one-sided. It just wasn't Russell said, I want out. I'm not getting what I want. And them going, okay, Russell, we'll do what you've been such a good soldier here. We'll just do whatever you want.
Seattle sold it that way, though. Boy, they did a good job of selling it up until Pete Carroll said, hey, I'm going to follow the 12th man.
Yeah.
Whatever the 12s do.
Yeah, there was.
Open invitation. Brady went back to New England just last year. We all watched. I don't, nothing close to that.
No.
There's
reverence.
That was next level.
Yeah, there's but again, the organization was done with Brady. You know, Bill Belichick wanted to move on and win multiple championships with another quarterback named Squishy.
Absolutely.
So. I think that is my favorite soundbite.
That might be. We got a lot of them. That one. Squishy Mac. Squishy Mac. Squishy Mac has a bad back.
Yeah. Poor Squishy.
Poor Squishy.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.